So good morning. It's Sunday morning here on Radio Verulam, and we've got Valerie Beale with us. Good morning, Valerie.
Good morning.
And you're the executive chairman of HACRO, which is a charitable organisation based here in St Albans.
It is. HACRO has been in existence for something like 45 years now, but it's changed very much in the last few years, and we are now what's known as a charitable incorporated organisation, which is the equivalent of a limited company for charities.
Right, I see. So and some of your work is about raising money, but also about helping people as well to fund the programmes that you actually have going on. Is that correct?
Absolutely. HACRO is about helping people who've been on the wrong side of the law to turn their lives around. And the reason that that is so important is, first of all, that everybody deserves a second chance. We've all made mistakes and wish we hadn't done things. But also, offenders, if they are committing offences, there are victims. And the whole of society can potentially be a victim. So if you help someone to stop being an offender, you're reducing victims.
Right, because as I say, there probably will be some people out there saying HACRO, and it is the Hertfordshire Care and Rehabilitation of Offenders. Some people might be out there saying, surely punishment should be all about retribution. It shouldn't be about rehabilitation.
Punishment certainly has its place. But just as if you're bringing up a child, you don't actually get anywhere unless you enable that person to find a different way of living their lives, to find a useful outlet for their talents, and to become contributing members of society.
Right. And so what kind of people are we talking that you will work with? Are we talking all ages? What's the range?
We're talking adults. We don't work with teenagers, so 18 plus and up to people in retirement years.
Right. And I'm just interested to ask, would these be people that are first-time offenders or people that have got like a history of offending, or is it a combination?
They're unlikely to be first-time offenders. The pattern of offending is that people start off with something relatively minor, and they either then stop offending or they go on to commit more and more serious offenses.
Offenses, yeah.
And so people don't go to prison unless they've committed something really serious or unless they've committed multiple offenses. And one of the common misunderstandings amongst the public is that the term offender is the same as meaning prisoner.
Right.
And actually, very few offenders go to prison. The majority of offenders serve their sentence in the community on what's known as community orders or possibly suspended sentences. Or these days, all people who've been to prison serve at least 12 months on license. So the majority of people are in the community, and what we're doing is trying to turn them into contributing members of the community.
So it very much is part of the community's sort of responsibility and role as well to take care and help rehabilitate these offenders?
Absolutely. They have an element of they're responsible for their own rehabilitation. We're not taking away responsibility for what they've done, nor are we taking away the responsibility that they have for their own lives. What we're doing is giving them the tools to change things.
Right. OK. And one of the programmes that you've just recently launched is called Dedicated Dads. Could you give us a little bit more information about this, if that's possible?
Yes, certainly. For about 10 years now, we've been running a program called Caring Dads, which is a parenting program for men against whom there have been allegations of domestic abuse. And that term allegations is really important. They don't have to have been convicted, but you will be aware that in any relationship, there are tensions and difficulties. And domestic abuse these days isn't just about domestic violence, and it's about all sorts of other difficulties, and it can be financial abuse. It can be a controlling relationship, and all sorts of different ways in which the relationship has gone sour. And because those factors have a real impact on children, even if parents think that they're having their arguments in their own way and their disagreements, the children are very much impacted by it, even if they're not in the same room. And so Caring Dads is about enabling fathers who've had allegations of domestic abuse to understand the impact of their behaviour on their children. Right. Very often, yeah, they've been prevented from seeing their children by their former partner, by children's services, by social services, or by the family courts. And so it's a way of enabling fathers to understand their abusive behaviour, the impact it's had on their children, and to start rebuilding that relationship.
Right. Okay, now, I'm just interested. So there is that whole element, first of all, when a father comes into this program of acceptance of what they've done. That's sort of the first stage, is it then? And then they move forward after that.
Yes, very much. There has to be a level of acceptance, but actually there's still quite a lot of denial going on. And so it's a case of working with fathers to enable them to understand actually what domestic abuse means, because very often a father will say, but I never hit her, and actually it's not just about violence.
Right.
So the way that Dedicated Dads came about was that during the first lockdown, we of course weren't able to offer Caring Dads, which is a group program over 17 weeks, every week in the evening. And the first lockdown was much more stringent than subsequent lockdowns, and we had to stop it. But of course, during lockdown, relationships were put under even more pressure. And so the level of domestic abuse increased hugely. And the number of police call-outs for domestic abuse went through the roof. And so we had social workers contacting us to say, well, what can you offer? So we created Dedicated Dads as an option. And in fact, it's been so successful that we've decided to keep it as part of our ongoing programs, rather than the way it was initially intended to be, just an interim holding situation until we could get Caring Dads up and running again.
Excellent. It's going very well then. So the program has been running since, so was it autumn time it sort of got going, or was it during the first lockdown that it started?
No, we started about June time.
Right.
And we got a little bit of funding from Hertfordshire Community Foundation, and we developed a program whereby we use video calls on a one-to-one basis. And so the facilitator uses a video phone with the father, and they use whatever platform the dad is comfortable with. So it might be Zoom, it might be FaceTime, it might be WhatsApp or whatever. And they spend a considerable amount of time in the first session doing an assessment, so assessing risk, and looking about at risk factors and identifying what it is that this particular father needs. So in and they then use that to create an action plan that's tailored to that father. And it may well be that one guy needs anger management. It might be that he needs to understand child development and the stages of child development and the way that children are impacted by behaviours. And so what the facilitators do is use their counselling skills and dip into the Caring Dads manual in order to help fathers to understand the way that their children are impacted and to help them to understand how to repair their relationship with their children.
And it's gone well so far, has it, with lots of positive results?
It's gone really well. I mean, we had not expected it to be a replacement for caring dads, but for some dads it is. They'll be referred for caring dads, but they go through the dedicated dads program, and it's just made so much sense to them, and they've made so much progress that actually they don't need anything further.
Which is brilliant. That sounds absolutely brilliant. Now, listen, if people want to find out more, your website has loads of information on it, and it's www.hackrow.org.uk. And also, you said there's an email address if anyone wants to get in contact. And what was the email address again, Valerie? Sorry.
It's office@hackrow.org.uk.
Valerie, thank you ever so much for coming on this morning and explaining that to us and sharing that information, and good luck with all the work as we continue in this lockdown time and everything. So good luck with all your work.
Thank you. You're welcome.